I feel since I started to practice Dhanapanasati and really got into your wholesome approach to the Dhamma, it's been really helpful. I was coming out of quite a difficult period, and I was really got into the practice. But the last couple of days, I had some major, let's say I felt really unsettled and really, so I couldn't really get into the wholesome thought patterns. And this is what I wanted to ask you about, you know, how I can, is it just trying to get at it, keep at it, and or you know, when you feel those hindrances, you can't really, you know, you can't really get out of it, you know, like dark night of the soul almost, you know.
So go ahead.
No, I'm just you know, I wanted to hear how is it, just should I just be keeping at it, or you know, what when I, you know, when I really get into that kind of traffic jam with Maras, I can't really expel Maras thought patterns, and how should I approach those?
Well, the way that we have to understand it is that first off, most people are dissatisfied almost all of the time. And only occasionally when something happens that they like. But that doesn't last long. An example would be, I remember when I was helping a Thai buy a car when I was in the robes, and that the salesman, while we were filling out the paper, I think it's because he was trying to sell us something, he says, "Aren't you excited?" As if that's how you're supposed to buy a car. All right. Joyful and excited because you're getting something new. And I told him that being excited is not the right way to buy a car. You need to look at what you're doing. Okay, so most people, in fact, go from one dissatisfaction to another with only occasionally having elation that is short-lived.
Yes.
So when we start practicing the Dhamma, that means then that we're actually finally in control, that we don't have to buy a car or get a present or have something delivered or get a raise or any of the kind of stuff that makes people feel good,
right,
and start to feel good because we're actually able to do that without having to have some outside circumstance. However, that too is going to be short-lived.
Yes.
Because why? Because the habit patterns of the mind has kept a person in dissatisfaction almost constantly, and that's his normal state of being. So whether he gets elation and happiness from the outside or whether he's creating it from the inside, it's still temporary. But the point is that the things that happen, the elation on the outside, are unusual and rare.
Yes.
But the one that we can practice on the inside, we can actually cultivate that and make a habit of it on its own.
Right.
So we have to keep practicing and keep practicing over and over and over again, because our normal state of mind is things are not right. And we can start to practice over and over again by having the mental attitude that things are okay. We can have the mental attitude and the mental words of everything is all right, everything is fine. And pretty soon we begin to feel that way.
Absolutely. And it was really fantastic. I mean, really, I was so surprised to see how well it works and, you know, how really kept me in a really good, while my outside is still, has been kind of messy, it's still, you know, I could still face it.
The outside's going to be messy as long as you continue to have the attitude that it's messy.
Right, right. But it's, nevertheless, it's been fine, you know, it's really been, and I've been really keeping at it and really encouraged. But then I had a few setbacks this week, and it's just somehow this whole negativity just like came over me, and I was really really feeling unsettled. I couldn't, it was before, it's been so easy to kind of just put you in the wholesome frame of mind.
Well, what you can say, now you can see that, and you can say, aha, I see that messy mind. Aha, yes. I can see that I have gotten back into that funky state. And then you can do something about it. The problem is that people will move from one funky state to another funky state without having full realization that they can do something about it right here, right now.
Right. But it just
be able to recognize.
But I've been hearing you so many times with your example of the email, you know. But unfortunately, I did send that email yesterday. I couldn't wait, you know. I was so unsettled, so I did send that stupid email. But hopefully, I can maneuver it, because today it's much better, and you know, I don't think it was too harmful, but. You know, it was funny because I was like, later in the day, I was like, wow, how could I, you know, I should have waited, because I went outside, I sat under a tree, I slowly got back, you know, and got more wholesome, and towards the end of the day, I was feeling much better, and you know, we can handle this, but I had sent that email, the one that I should wait.
don't send an email when you're unhappy.
No.
Because it will be returned to you unhappy.
Of course. Well, they haven't even returned it yet. But I think it's just but it was like, it was a pure Mara email, you know. You can feel it when you're, it's really ridiculous. But,
yes, if somebody sends you an nasty email, don't answer it. Don't answer it. Wait a while. Wait a day or two and think about all the good things that you can say. And it'll be mixed with a bunch of garbage. But eventually, when you do write it, it's going to be all sunshine. Even if it's ironic. I mean, you could put the little ironic digs in there, but they've got to be happy ironic little digs rather than telling them what you really want to say.
Yes.
Like calling the old woman a Karen. Don't do that.
it's more of it's like in the professional I'm working for it's like a pro bono work, so I'm not being paid, but they're pushing me to do things, and then I was waiting for a job offer which that was one of the reasons that I was a bit disappointed. And then these people who is pushing me to do this, pro bono I got a little tense with them yesterday. So, because, you know, I'm doing it so I'm going to try and take a step back and now be more kind to them, you know. Although
kindness goes a long way.
They're pushing my buttons sometimes, you know. And
they're pushing your buttons because you put them out there to be pushed. If you hide them away, then they can't push them.
Right. And it's so easy, you know. But it's just. Because that was another thing I was thinking about your this Anapanasati. Does it come to, when you're really wholesome in your practice and you can manage externals very well, that it, once you fall out, that these externals becomes even stronger if you kind of start hesitating, or if the external factors becomes even more than they would otherwise be if you're, you know, do you see what I mean? If you're, you become a kind of, you become so strong in your practice. So once you're suddenly you start hesitating, then they appear much much more difficult than they are, you know, like you become weaker with against these forces. Or
well, actually, you're beginning to see how weak you were with all of those forces all along. Now you're beginning to see that you feel really weak. You feel like that victim that you have always been. But now when you recognize that victim, then you can say, wait a minute, I can do something about that. That victimhood that I'm experiencing is just an old feeling, but I can choose not to feel like the victim. I'm the winner here.
Yeah. Right.
So when you feel victimized, recognize that you don't have to feel that way. Remember, in fact, that when you're feeling victimized, remember that that's just a feeling you have. Whether they were trying to victimize you or not, it's irrelevant. If they were trying to victimize you, you let them do it. You put your buttons right out there and that email victimized you. Or they weren't trying to victimize you at all, but you went ahead and let them push that button anyway.
Yeah.
So whether they're trying to victimize you or not is irrelevant. What's relevant is that you can't remember that you've got a choice about whether you're going to let them victimize you or not.
Yeah. But it's like if you see these that these kind of outside or these external forces, when you're in a really good shape, you don't bother now so much about them. But it's almost like when you lose balance, then you suddenly see them as even bigger hindrances, or you know, they become more imposing, you know. So I was wondering if that's common in the practice when you're getting in shape. Like falling out of shape, then the hill becomes much steeper than it really is, because you kind of been you've been renouncing, or not renouncing, but you haven't been bothered with them, and then suddenly when you're letting them in, they become much bigger.
Right, we make them bigger. We conceptualize them to be bigger. We perceive them to be bigger, and the reality is that they're just real.
Yes.
And we can see real as just real, then that reality becomes a paradise all on its own, because that's your attitude, that this reality is nice. But our whole culture has been training every child in it that you don't live in a paradise, you live in a jungle, and you've got to fix things while they're broken. Tote that barge, lift that bale. The next thing you know, you'll land in jail. That's from an old movie. All right. We've got to go to do what we're told to do. Learn your ABCs. Learn your 1, 2, 3s. Pick up that. Pick up your toys. Clean your room. And we're taught that way through the people that we're around. Our moms and our dads are unhappy, and they teach that unhappiness to every child that comes along. We do not teach our children to be happy. We teach them to be unhappy.
Yeah, we're so conditioned, though.
So we have to start to teach ourselves to be happy.
I know.
And you're not going to get it from anybody else. And you can, but you have to practice it over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because all of that time, because of all of that education, now we are talking ourselves into feeling bad. We've been talking ourselves into feeling bad all of these years. Now it's time to start talking ourselves into feeling good. But we only do it a little bit a day. So we need to start building that up, practicing more and more until we can spend most of our time feeling good and only occasionally feel bad.
Right. Well, that's how it's been. You know, I've been waking up sometimes with almost more like sparks of bliss after, you know, the wholesome practice, and my situation has still been messy, but I haven't, you know, I've been really on guard. I haven't been escaping into drink or anything like my old patterns. It's been really smooth sailing, really. But you know, I still had challenges, but I've been handling. But then yesterday or the two last 2 days been things that previously was fine seemed overwhelming, you know, and immediately I kind of snapped back. And but I guess going out in the forest and, you know, I was collecting some firewood and stuff, it really that helped actually. And sitting under a tree and, you know, I listened to some of your talks, and there was one in particular where, because my father passed away quite recently, late last year, and that's also been a little bit tough, of course. But I listened to a really nice talk you had with one of your students or one of your friends about his the passing of his, like how to deal with grief. So going outside in the forest and, you know, that kind of that also balanced things a lot. So that was appreciated. It's interesting how from having these challenges you can really deal with them and suddenly they overwhelm you, you know. But
well, Carl, I'm glad to hear that you're actually beginning to understand the Dhamma. The one thing that I can actually keep emphasizing it is that you have to do it over and over and over and over again. Every one of us kind of thinks somehow or another that if I practice enough, I don't have to practice anymore. And that's not the case. But in fact, those who become extremely accomplished at it keep practicing, keep doing it. One of the examples that I would use is Arthur Rubinstein, who was a very well accomplished pianist, and he was even an old man during my lifetime. And in the 1990s, he was in his 90s, and there was an interview. And the interview asked him, do you still practice the piano? I mean, he was long beyond his prime. He was doing big piano concertos and traveling the world in the 1970s.
Right.
But in the 1990s, what he said was, is that if I miss 1 day's practice, I'll know it. If I miss 2 days' practice, the housekeeper will know it. And if I miss 3 days' practice, the dog will know it.
Yes.
So if we need to be practicing our Anapanasati, if we miss a day of it, you'll notice. If you miss 2 days, your wife will notice. If you miss 3 days, the whole world will know.
Yeah.
And so we have to keep doing it. We have to keep practicing. There's never a time when we stop practicing, but there comes a time when we really like it. And so it becomes the easiest thing to do is to just to take a deep breath. Wow, everything is so good.
Yeah. No.
Everything is all right. Everything is fine. Not a worry in the world.
All right. But there are also moments when I couldn't even. Eventually, it came back, you know, because I kept practicing yesterday. But there were times during the day when I couldn't get into that. I tried to stop everything. And
well, never mind. Start again. Just keep going.
It was like Mara was attacking me from all sides, you know. It was a Mara punch-up.
When you want to be happy and you're practicing to be happy and you're not happy, you're actually creating that unhappiness by wanting it. Instead of saying, this is good enough.
Yeah.
Whatever I've got right now, that's good enough. That's the correct way to practice. Practicing good satisfaction.
Enough. That is a good word. Good enough.
It's good enough. Yeah. Right now is really good enough.
Even if it's not perfect.
Nothing is perfect.
Well,
the worst thing in the world is to have a perfect wife.
Yeah. But the worst thing is having a pity party. And that was, I was wallowing, you know, and it's pathetic.
People will have a pity party when they're practicing Anapanasati, or they think that they are. But why? Because they don't feel as good as they want to. Oh, poor me, my Anapanasati is not working as well as it did yesterday.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Instead of, oh, never mind. I saw that negative thought. I saw that. I saw that, Mara. Never mind. I feel good enough. This is good enough. Let me take another deep breath and I'll feel good enough again.
Never mind, but don't send that email just yet.
Yeah, don't send that email until you're in a really nice state.
Yeah.
When you can thank them for sending the email that you sent them, that they sent you. When you can say, wow, I'm so glad I got that email. You've really helped me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's really pathetic because you can actually create so much further mess by sending that, you know, by acting on your pity party.
So keep practicing, keep practicing, mm-hmm. keep practicing being satisfied that it's good enough. Even when negative thoughts are there. Yeah, I see those negative thoughts. That's okay. I'm still good. I'm still okay.
Yeah. No, I.
You keep practicing satisfaction pretty good. Pretty soon satisfaction is nice. Wow, I'm so glad that I could be satisfied.
Absolutely. And it's been really, Damarado, it's been... It has really been doing all the difference, you know, but it's also, I want to acknowledge when, you know, when the negativity suddenly takes over, it takes over big time, you know,
mm-hmm.
And that's, yeah, we just have to work with that as well.
Well, keep at it.
Yeah.
Keep going. Call me again soon. Call me when you feel bad. Call me when you feel good.
I had another thing regarding the, if I may, regarding last, our call on Sunday. We were talking about the practice.
Okay.
Yeah, and how people come to the what broken.
Well, that's what it's for. It's a hospital.
But I was thinking, something that struck me, don't we see when we come to the Dhamma that the kind of the normal, the how things are is broken, like the samsaric way of how people live this life, it's kind of broken. Mm-hmm. So the ones who go to the what are actually trying to do something about it. So they're less broken.
Well, in a way, and in fact, this is the idea that you can think of is that the what is kind of a do-it-yourself hospital. All the gauze and all the pills and all of the sutures and all of the hospital equipment is right out there. If you want something, go do it. If you got a broken arm, go set it.
Yeah, so that was my point. That, of course... we are kind of broken, you know, that when you go to the Dhamma center or but I mean, at least you're doing something about it. Like a lot of mm-hmm. people are just keep on with their house on fire and they don't want to, they just want to go up and down and, you know.
Well, so, a lot of people will come to the Watt wanting somebody else to fix them and nobody's going to fix you. They're having too much fun if they're practicing correctly. And if they're not practicing correctly, they don't know how to fix you.
Yes.
So you got to do it yourself.
You got to do it yourself. You're right. And it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Of course, it depends upon your attitude. If you have the attitude that you can do it, then you can. If you have the attitude, oh, I can't do it, I need that guru to do it to me.
Yeah.
Guru's not going to do it.
We have to be our own...
Up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And the attitude that maybe the guru can help you with is the attitude of you can do it. You can do it. Use the guru as the example. Yeah, he can do it. I can do it.
No, it is. It is. And that's why I want to, you know, in really such a balance, like really, it's really been working. But I wanted to bring up that, you know, there could be these when these things come over you, you know, it's but it's still is possible to get back into
absolutely
shape.
They don't yeah. come over you. You pick them up and smear it all over you.
Well, we gotta get
those
back
things actually back. Have no power. We smear our own face and say it came over me. That's ignorance. When we realize that, yeah, we smeared that crap all over ourselves, now we could do something about it. And the first thing that we decide to do, we're not going to do that right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's clean our face.
Yes, let's try and, you know, we can get towards the top of the mountain of shit, you know. we don't need to have it, you know, we can get on top of it.
Yes, actually, there's an important point about that, and that is that we don't need to climb a mountain. It's not a mountain that needs to be climbed. It's not a mountain. It's this moment. Can we climb on top of this moment? It's not a mountain.
Oh, I like that. Right, on top of this moment. Yeah.
On top of this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that there's a whole mountain of moments ahead, but no, you only have one moment at a time. They don't come as a mountain.
Yeah, because when you're defeated by this moment, it's because you're not really taking it on.
Mm-hmm.
You're somewhere else. You're wallowing in some future scare or some past scare or...
Right. You think that this is part of a mountain when in fact, no, it's just what's happening right now and you can take control over it.
Right. Yeah.
So it's the mentality of that I'm not up to the case, then this moment is a mountain because that's the mountain that you've created with your attitude.
Mm-hmm.
When you create the attitude, oh, it's just a moment, I can fix this. So when you have anxiety, you can say, oh, I see that anxiety. Let me take a deep breath. Oh, the anxiety is still there. Another deep breath. And then in a moment or two, and that anxiety is gone.
Right.
But if we keep worrying about whatever it was that we were worried about, then the anxiety will increase and increase and increase until we're having a panic attack. But if we can change our mind, see that anxiety. Oh, look what I've done to myself. I've gotten myself into anxiety. Let me take a deep breath and relax, and then that anxiety will just go away.
Yes. Because actually, I was going, since our first call, I was going to ask you about when, during my practice, that my kind of, I had been feeling not unsettled or anything. It's just been stagnated, you know, not really enthusiastic, kind of bland. But then last couple of days, I had this really negativity. So I wanted to discuss that instead, rather than the blandness of the practice.
Yep. That's just, you know, one negative thought after another. Can you see it? Say, wait a minute, I can change that right now. I don't have to continue to do that. I can stop doing it right now and start feeling good instead, this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never mind that I've just had a mountain of moments where I felt bad. This moment is a little one and I can feel good.
Yeah, totally. And going outside and sit under a tree is good as well. It works.
Mm-hmm. Right. Trees are good friends.
No, it's really true. And there was another thing I wanted to check also. I noticed that I think there were some opportunities for volunteer work. Who do I contact for those things in the?
You can contact Michael. In fact, Michael's right here on the porch.
Right. So okay. I just write him on Skype or?
Well, yes, on Skype. Okay, you can contact Michael Clark, or we have an open Sangha Foundation website group.
Okay. And are they posted there?
Pardon?
Are they posted there?
Well, Michael is monitoring that group. If you want, I'll add you to that group.
Well, okay. I did register on the Open Sangha.
Oh, you've joined the Open Sangha Foundation as a a member of the foundation. That's great. That's one of the first things to do. Make sure that you fill out all the data. The more data you fill out, the better. Put a picture up, put a photo, put your address, email, all of that kind of stuff is needed. And also, I'll post you on the Open Sangha Foundation website on the Skype group, and you can talk to Michael there. Perfect. Thank you for your willingness to volunteer. We certainly have stuff for you to do.
Yeah, there. I have some spare time now, so it could be a good thing. I just want to see what the opportunities there are regarding. I think he mentioned something about social networks and stuff like that. So,
yes, we have social net. We got all kinds of data that needs to be fixed, vetted, added to, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, good stuff then.
Thank you.
Anyway, so Damarado, thank you so much, and I'll call you soon again then.
We'll see you then.
Okay. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.